The topic for today is davening with a minyan, obligation or priority. Whether davening with a minyan is an obligation or a priority is clearly the right thing to do. Baruch Hashem, at least in most Jewish communities and certainly here in the yeshiva, davening with a minyan has become somewhat of a hallmark of the committed. So therefore, I generally wouldn't even discuss this topic at all, not to rock the boat, so to speak. But it's an important topic, and in present company, for those who are come to Shiurim during reading week, I'm not that concerned. But the sugya gets started with the Gemara in Dav Zayin and Beis and Brachos. The Gemara says that Rav Yitzchak said to Rav Nachman, "My time alo osi mar lebei kanishta litzluye. How come you didn't come to Shachris this morning?" And so Rav Yitzchak said to Rav Nachman, so he said, "Lo yachil, and I wasn't able to." So he said, "Why didn't you gather 10 people in your house and daven? So that way you could have davened with a minyan." He says, "Nah, it's a tircha. I don't want to get 10 people to my house to daven." All right. So he says, "Why don't you send to the gabbai, find out when they're davening in the base Knesset, and you'll daven with them. You'll daven at the same time as them." So why did he have to call to the gabbai? Why can't you assume at any given point in time, if you daven from, let's say, 7, so let's say between 7 and 9, in the New York, let's say here in the yeshiva, pick any time. So probably there's some minyan going on at some time throughout the country, probably, I guess in our time zone. There's going to be davening Shabbos at that time. Why do you have to call to the gabbai? So the stipler writes in the beginning of a Avodah Zarah in Siman Aleph that you see that you have to, it only works for those minyanim that are in your town. So you have to call to the Beis Knesset in his town to find out when they were davening. Others go even further and they say it has to be, you have to have kavana to relate, to be mitzdarif to a specific minyan, maybe even your shul. But you can't just have in mind whatever minyan out there happens to be davening at that time, I'd like to join up with them. So he said, "Why didn't you call to the gabbai to find out when they're davening and be mitzdarif with them?" So he says, "My kuli hai, what are you getting so excited about? I have to do, to go to such lengths." So he said, "Yes, you do. Because the pasuk says, Vani tfigasi l'choya Hashem eis ratzon. My tefillah is to you, Hashem, eis ratzon. It should be a time of ratzon." So Gemara says, it sounds like there's an opportune time for davening and a non-opportune time for davening. What's that eis ratzon, the opportune time for davening? B'shosh, tzibur mispalim. That's the time when the tzibur is davening. So it sounds like the tefillah that's offered, b'yachidus, is less likely to be accepted than a tefillah that's offered b'tzibur. And the Gemara continues, Minayin shen HaKadosh Baruch Hu mo'es b'tfilas and shol rabim. A tefillah of the yachid, the Gemara implies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could reject. But a tefillah of the rabim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to reject, because the pasuk says, in Iyov hein keil kabir velo yimas. God is mighty and he won't be disgusted. He won't reject the tefillah of the tzibur. Okay, so it sounds like the ma'ala of davening, advantageous part of davening b'tzibur, is that the tefillah is more likely to be accepted. There's a similar Gemara in Daf Vav in Brachos, which relates to this topic. The Gemara there says, "Ein tefillah shel adam nishmas el bebeis knesses." A tefillah can only be heard in shul. That's the only time it'll be accepted. Shenemar l'shmel al arina ve'al tefillah. B'makom rina sham tehei tefillah. In the place where there's rina, where there's calling out. Rashi says, what type of calling out? When the tzibur calls out to Hashem, b'makom rina sham tehei tefillah, that's where tefillah should be. So it sounds like tefillah has to be specifically in the Beis Knesses. Then tefillah is more likely to be accepted. It used to be, before the Gluck Center was built, that mincha for most shiurim took place in the classroom. Now they've instituted that all the shiurim should daven together in the Beis Medrash. I assume one of the kavanos was because tefillah is more accepted in the Beis Knesses, in a Beis Medrash, than it is in a classroom which doesn't have the kedusha of a Beis Knesset or a Beis Medrash. And then the tefillah is more likely to be accepted. So therefore the Rambam says, a person, let's say, wakes up late for davening, so it's better, and he missed tefillah b'tzibur, you don't have minyanim running around the clock like you do here, so you missed tefillah b'tzibur, it's better to daven in shul than daven in your home, because tefillah is more likely to be accepted in shul. Ein tefillah shel adam nishmas el b'beis Knesset. I've seen guys, if you wake up too late, you should daven in your room. You shouldn't come to the Beis Medrash, in the middle of morning Seder, putting your talis and tefillin, and then so everyone can see, oh, I missed davening, but I'm here to daven in the Beis Medrash. If a person, you should do it, in a tzinnah fashion, but if a person can do it in such a fashion, then that's what the Rambam says is the proper thing to do. So the Mishkanos Yaakov in his Tshuvos discusses, what about a person who has two options? Either he has option of davening b'tzibor, not in a shul, or is the option of davening b'yachidus in the shul. So should he daven, is the shul more advantageous than tzibor? So he says, the Gemara says, ein tefilah shel adam nishmas ela b'beis kenesses. Tefilah is only heard in shul. Shul is better than, we said tzibor, your tefilah is more likely to be accepted. It says also if you hear a shul, your tefilah is more likely to be accepted. So Mishkanos Yaakov says, better to daven in a shul b'yachidus, by yourself, rather than daven b'tzibor outside of a shul. So in the chidushim of the tzlach, the brachos, which is the night of Yehudas, chidushim on brachos, he disagrees. And he says, it sounds like from the Gemara, ein tefila shel adam. An individual who's davening can only be heard in shul. Or he's more likely to be heard in shul. But only ein tefila shel adam, the tefila of an individual. If a tefila b'tzibor, then your tefila also has a good chance of being accepted, because you're davening b'tzibor. So he thinks tzibor trumps shul. And then he points out what the Rebbe Kiva Eger points out on the side of the Gemara in the Gilyan Hashas, that Tosos in Avodah Zarah and Daf Dalet has a different gears in this Gemara. Tosos in Avodah Zarah has the gears that ain't tefilah shel adam nishmas el b'tzibor. Tefilah is only heard b'tzibor, not b'beis kenesses. So if you have that option of davening b'yachidos in a shul or davening b'tzibor outside of the shul, the Tzlach claims you should daven b'tzibor outside of the shul, because the idea of davening b'tzibor is that your tefilah is more likely to be accepted. So going back to our Gemara, if the tefillah is more likely to be accepted, so why didn't Rav Nachman come to shul? He says, tefillah, it's a tircha. No, not at the tircha, that's why he didn't come. He said, I wasn't able to come. So he said, why didn't you gather 10 people in your house? It's a tircha. What do you mean it's a tircha? So the Emek Bracha, which was of Arya Paramchik, is a Talmud of the Brisker Rav, so he has in his Sefer, the Emek Bracha, that he proves from here that the obligation to daven b'tzibor is not an obligation at all. It's a priority. Your tefillah is more likely to be accepted. I'll give you an Eitz HaTovah. Daven b'tzibor. Your tefillah has a better chance of being accepted. But it's an obligation, a formal chiyuv? No. How do you know? Because he says, tircha li nizla. It's a tircha, I'm not doing it. What do you mean it's a tircha? It's a tircha to go to shul. It's a tircha, you know, teach masa. Tircha to drink Daud Kosos. But we don't say, oh, it's a tircha, so you don't have to do it. But going to shul, it sounds like, or davening with a minion at least, it sounds like was a tircha, so you didn't do it. Because it's not an obligation, it's a tova, or a priority. So he has a diuk like that in the Rambam. The Rambam says in Perek Ches of Hilchos Tefillah, Halacha Aleph, Tefillah sat tzibor nishmas tamid, the tefillah of the tzibor is always heard. Therefore, a person should try to daven with a minyan. And the Rambam has a language which implies that it's not an obligation. He says, "V'lo yispalo yachidi kozman sheyochol yispalo b'tzibor." You shouldn't daven by yourself anytime you have the opportunity to daven b'tzibor. So it doesn't sound like he's saying you have to do it. V'lo yispalo, you shouldn't do it. Lo yispalo yachidi when you have the opportunity to daven b'tzibor, but not that it's necessarily a formal obligation. So therefore, the Emek Bracha claims if a person, the case that he's discussing, we're going to discuss many more practical cases, but the Emek Bracha, the case that he was discussing was, a person comes, goes to the Daven Maariv, some Inyanim daven very fast, so he's in the middle of saying Kriya Shema, Birchas Kriya Shema, and they get up to Shmona Esrei. The real Tefillah B'Tzibor is saying Shmona Esrei with the Tzibor. Maybe starting Shmona Esrei with the Tzibor, maybe saying, you know, they should overlap, it's a different discussion. But they start davening Shmona Esrei, and he's in the middle of his Birchas Kriya Shema. Should he stop saying Kriya Shema and daven b'tzibor? And he could say Kriya Shema later. Like a person who comes late to shul. If you come late to Maariv, and the tzibor is about to start Shmona Esrei, you should start Shmona Esrei with them. Tefillah b'tzibor trumps, is better than Smichas Gula Tefillah. Saying Kriya Shema in the order, Hashkiveinu and then Tefillah b'tzibor, it's better to say the Tefillah b'tzibor and then Kriya Shema afterwards. So what about over here? The guy's davening slow, or they're davening fast, and he's in the middle of Birchas Kriya Shema. Should he jump to do Tefillah B'Tzibor and then come back to Kriya Shema? Same with Birchas says, no. Tefillah B'Tzibor is a priority. You come to shul, you have that opportunity, so that beats out that priority of having your Tefillah heard, beats out Smichas Gula Tefillah, which is also a nice thing. But here, the guy's in the middle of Birchas Kriyat Shema. I don't have to interrupt my brachas of Kriyat Shema to do Tefillah B'tzibur because it's not an obligation. It's a priority. And here, I'm already in the middle of saying Birchas Kriyat Shema. Rav Shechter also is of the opinion, like they make bracha, that davening B'tzibur is a priority, not necessarily an obligation. And he likes to give just an interesting mashal, which we'll come back to. He says it's like the icing on the cake. The cake is having a proper davening, and we'll discuss what that means. And the icing on the cake, the way that it's heard better, it's presentable better, you're more likely a chance it'll be heard, is if there's icing. So that's the tefillah b'tzibur. However, he's quick to point out, and the other posts can point this out too, that that's only during the week. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's different, because the Ramban writes at the beginning of Parshas Emor, in the beginning of the Parshas HaMoados, in Emor, that the Moadim are called Mikra'e Kodesh. Why are they called Mikra'e Kodesh? Holy gatherings. Mikra'e means we call everybody together for the holy gatherings. So the Ramban says that they're holy gatherings in the sense that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we all gather together in shul to call out to Hashem in a holy way, to make a Kiddush Hashem. And we all praise Hashem together in shul. So the Ramban implies that there is a unique aspect of davening in shul. This probably would be an obligation to daven in shul, to daven b'tzibur on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why do I say Shabbos too? Yom Tov is Mikra'i Kodesh. So the first, if you look there in the Parshas HaMoados, the first Moed, Rabbi Rosenzweig likes to point this out, the first Moed, which is in the Parshas HaMoados, is Shabbos, which is a striking point. So Shabbos and Yom Tov also are called Mikra'i, Shabbos also, I'm sorry, is called Mikra'i Kodesh, and there would also be the same obligation to daven b'tzibur. The Rabban is quoted la'alacha by the Prima Gadim. So that's the Emek Bracha's opinion. That is the priority. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Nigros Moshe and Dayan Weiss feels the same way. The Minchas Yitzchak, they disagree. And they feel that davening with a minyan is an obligation, a mitzvah midrabanan. And they prove, Rav Moshe proves it from a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim says that a person, let's say he's traveling along the way, and he realizes, oh, it's time to daven mincha or whatever. And he realized that the last shul he passed was a mil, 18 minutes behind. Does he have to go back in his derech? Does he have to, you know, backtrack to go daven b'tzibur or not? Let's say it's very far back. So the Gemara says he has to go back a mil. That's as far as he has to go back. If it's 2 mil behind him, so then he doesn't have to go back. That's too far. But if it's a mil, he has to go back. So, and that's a mil in two directions. So a mil back and a mil, and then he has to go walk another mil. So that would be, I would say 20 minutes is a mil. So it would be 22 and a half minutes around there. So then he would have to go back and come there. So, you know, the whole trip would be 40 minutes or something like that. So he has to do that. Shulchan Aruch says that with regards to Netilas Yadayim, Netilas Yadayim, the Gemara has the same shear. Let's say a person doesn't have water to wash Netilas Yadayim. He wants to have a sandwich, he's on the trip, the Chol Moed trip, he doesn't have water to wash Netilas Yadayim, and he wants to eat his sandwich because he's starving. So the Gemara says you have to walk a mil to try and find water. If you're backtracking, you have to walk a mil to try and find water. What if you can't find water? So the Gemara says you could wrap your hands up in plastic bags or something, or eat the sandwich while it's still in a plastic bag. You wrap your hands up so you don't touch the bread, and then you're putter from the Netilas Yadayim. Why don't we do that Eitzah? Why can't you do that Eitzah anyway? So the Gemara says, we're afraid you're going to touch the bread. So we don't really allow it, but the water is so far away, we don't make you walk 2 mil back. If it's a mil back, we would make you walk. 20 minutes you'd have to go to find the water. But not more than that. So the Bir Halacha there on that Halacha by Netilas Yadayim says this doesn't depend on walking 18 minutes. It's an 18 minute or 22 and a half minute, whatever the shear mil is, a time. It's based on time, not based on distance. So if a person is driving in the car, he would have to drive for 20 minutes to find water. And by the same token, he would have to drive 20 minutes to go to shul around there, between 18 and 22 and a half minutes. That's why the poskim say, let's say a person, this is quoted in the Sefer Ishei Yisrael from Rebbe Yashiv, let's say a person wakes up late for davening, and there's a later minyan. But if he goes to that later minyan, he's going to miss his ride to work, to yeshiva, whatever. So, and if he misses the ride, he's going to have to take the train, it's going to take him an hour longer. So Rabbi Yashar says, no, you don't have to do that. If you're going to be 40 minutes longer, that you would have to do, because that's a mil there and a mil back. So you come 40 minutes late, that you would have to do around there. But if it's going to be more than that, if you miss your ride, you're going to have to take the subway to the bus to the train and transfer five times, and it's going to be more than that time period of 2 million, you're not obligated to do that. Yeah.
Cost factor.
Oh, we'll get to that in a second. Oh, you're saying because it's cheaper to go with the ride. Right, okay. You're not chipping in? All right, different discussion. So you see, Rav Moshe says that a person has to be matriach himself. He has to walk. He has to wait 40 minutes. He has to walk a mil there, a mil back, all the daven betzibur. But this is not an obligation at all. It's only a ma'ego midrabanan, says Rav Moshe. Why do you have to do all these things? Why is it comparable to netilas yadayim? So Rav Moshe says, it sounds like that this whole thing is a mitzvah midrabanan, just like netilas yadayim. And that's why you have to be matriach yourself to walk there and back. So why am I putter then more than a mil? I should have to walk 2 million. If there's a lulav on the shy yamim of yantav, I should have to walk back. Wherever lulav is midarabana, I should have to walk back 2 million. You don't say you only have to walk a mil to find the mitzvah midarabanan. So Moshe says that must have been part of these mitzvos. The mitzvah of netilas yadayim, the mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur, is that they put in a caveat. You only have to be matriach yourself so far. But it is, in fact, the mitzvah midrabanan. Otherwise, why do you have to be matriach yourself at all? And the caveat was, you don't have to walk back more than a mil. They limited the mitzvah. So the Emek Bracha says, no, they didn't limit the mitzvah. The reason you don't have to walk more than a mil is not because Rav Moshe says, after you walk a mil, more than a mil, already I'm an onus. Most mitzvahs, it takes much more to be an onus. You know, I really can't find wine for Daud Kosos. Not that I have the wine is a mil away, 20 minutes away. No, you cannot find it at all. Onus, I'm going to patra, you don't have to do it. By onus, by Tfil B'tzibur, Moshe claims, is different. There the Chazal said it's a mil. More than a mil, that's already onus, Rahman Apatre. Then Mikbracha says, why should this mitzvah be different than any other mitzvah? This is not onus, Rahman Apatre after a mil. This is because it's not a mitzvah at all. So Chazal said, it's kedai to walk a mil. It's kedai to wait 20 minutes there, 20 minutes back. But more than that, already it's not kedai. It's only a ma'ilu midrabanan, so your tefillah should be accepted, but it's not an obligation, so you don't have to walk more than 20 minutes. And one could bring a riot to this approach, because the Ramah quotes from the Gemara, the Ramah is in Hilchos Lulav, that a person has to give up a chomesh, a fifth of his wealth, in order to do a mitzvah. More than a fifth you're not supposed to give. But a fifth you're obligated to give. You shouldn't give more than a fifth, but a fifth you should give. So to do a mitzvah, you have to give up some money. However, with regards to tefillah b'tzibur, it's different. It says in Shulchan Aruch that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, let's say I have to pay people to come make a minyan. Do I have to pay people to come make a minyan? In our town, we have, 9 people. In order to make a minyan, we'd have to hire someone. Do we have to hire someone? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you should hire people to come make the minyan. During the week, doesn't say that. So the Poskim say, it sounds like you don't have to, you can if you want to. But you don't have to spend money to be mashal in the minyan during the week. Why not? If it's a mitzvah midrabanan, shouldn't you have to spend until a chomesh nechasav? So it sounds like the answer is, because it's not a mitzvah midrabanan, it's a ma'ilu midrabanan. For that ma'ilu, you don't have to walk more than a mil, and you don't have to give up your money. How come on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur you do? Because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur could be different. I would assume it's the same on Shabbos as well. Because there, that's the mitzvah, Mikrai Kodesh. There is an obligation to daven with a minyan on Shabbos and Yom Tiv. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur would be the same. But during the week, not necessarily. So therefore, then Sefer Isha Yisro, he also quotes from Shlomo Zalman, that if a person wakes up late, and he's going to come late to work, and let's say he's paid by the hour, or is in a place where they dock pay if you come late. So he says, if you don't go now, if you daven in your home, you could daven quicker. But if you daven in shul, it's going to take longer. So you have to go to shul and come late to work. So you lose a little bit of money. So he says, no, you don't have to. The same way I don't have to pay people to come to be mashum in the minyan, I don't have to lose money by coming late to work. There is a sefer called, a whole sefer about Tefillah B'tzibur called Tefillah B'tzibur. It was written by the same author as the sefer Tefillah Kehilchasa. So there he claims this issue that I'm presenting is a machlokas between the Emek Bracha and Reb Moshe, is davening with Betzibur an obligation or just a priority? He claims is a machlokas of Rishonim. Later in Brachos, on Daf Mem Zayin Mebeis, the Gemara there tells the story, Maisa Rebbe Lazar, that he came into Shul and there was no minyan. But he had his Eved with him. So he was Meshachra the Eved to Vishlima La Asara, and he completed the 10. So the Gemara asks, how is he able to do that? You're not supposed to be Meshachra your Eved. Call Meshachra Avdo over Be'esei. Has violated an Esei. What is the Esei? Shenemar Le'olam Behem Tavodu. So you're not supposed to be Meshachar the Eved. And he did it to be Mashum the Minyan. So Gemara says, no, Ledvar Mitzvah Shiny. He did it to do a Mitzvah. So Gemara says, well, then the Mitzvah is a Mitzvah above Avera. Because he did an Avera in order to do the Mitzvah. So Gemara says, no, Mitzvah the Rabbim Shiny. Here was a Mitzvah of Rabbim. So it was permissible. Question, how that relates to the fact that it's a Mitzvah above Avera. So Rashi there says, though, what was the Mitzvah the Rabbim? The mitzvah of the rabbim was that they could take kedusha. That's based on a pasuk v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. It's a gemara in brachas on chaf aleph. Kedusha is a mitzvah midrabanan, like it says, because the pasuk says v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. It's supposed to be makadish Hashem. Makadish Hashem is with kedusha. So Rashi says kedusha. Other Rishonim also say kedusha. Tosos there says that it means tefillah b'tzibur. The mitzvah, the rabbim, is tefillah b'tzibur. So this sefer, tefillah b'tzibur, claims that here, you see here, machlokas harishonim, tefillah b'tzibur is a mitzvah or not. Tosos says, what was the mitzvah, the rabbim, was tefillah b'tzibur, because Tosos holds it's a mitzvah. And Rashi says, kedusha. Why did Rashi have to go to kedusha? He came into shul, there was no minyan, he was mashachar his eved, he freed his slave in order to complete the minyan. What mitzvah is he presumably doing? Presumably the mitzvah of davening b'tzibur. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says kedusha. So it could be this sefer tefillah b'tzibur claims that Rashi doesn't hold it's a mitzvah to daven b'tzibur. It's a ma'alo midrabanan. That wouldn't have been a mitzvah to rabbim.
It could be that Rashi is using kedusha as a proxy for tefillah b'tzibur. Don't you use the machlokas between that and the Rishonim explain that Gemara saying parsha zohar? That'd be a much better way to line up the machlokas.
But Rashi doesn't say that. He says that they should do kedusha. Why don't he just say so they could daven tefillah b'tzibur?
Proxy like kedusha is a proxy for tefillah b'tzibur.
I don't know.
It's much easier just.
I don't like this equation either, because I don't think Tosos. Maybe you're right. Maybe Rashi just means kedusha, tefillah b'tzibur, etc., like that type of thing. Or and it could be even for Tosos that Tosos feels that tefillah b'tzibur is not an obligation. The Rav Tosos there is asking a kash on the Bahag. The opinion of the Bahag is that a mitzvah midrabanan can never push aside a mitzvah midaraisa. He's talking about if a person Rachman Nitzlan has an aveus on yantiv sheni shogolius. So Yom Tov Sheini Shogolis is only Midrabanan. And the first day of Avelos, according to some Rishonim, is Doraisa. So the Baha'i claims that if a person has a relative who dies on Yom Tov Sheini, he should observe Avelos on Yom Tov Sheini. Because the mitzvah Midoraisa of Avelos pushes aside the mitzvah Midrabanan of Yom Tov Sheini. Mitzvah Midoraisa always pushes aside the mitzvah Midrabanan. So the Tosus asks on him from here. Mitzvah of Tefillah b'Tzibur is clearly midrabanan. Even if it is a mitzvah, it's only mitzvah midrabanan. How does that push aside freeing your slave? That's an asei doraisa. How could a derabanan push aside a doraisa? Tosas leaves it as a kasha on the Bahag. So the Rav explained in the Yortzeit Shirim, and Rav Shechter quotes this in his Hakdama to the Pnini Harav, that the Rav explained to the Bahag that davening b'tzibur has, even though the obligation might only be midrabanan, or maybe it's not even an obligation at all, it's only a ma'ilu midrabanan. It's a nice thing, it's a priority. Because your tefillah is more likely to be accepted, but it's not a formal obligation at all. It has a kiyum d'oraisa. You have fulfilled a mitzvah midoraisa. What is that mitzvah midoraisa? V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. You have made a public kiddush Hashem by davening b'tzibur. So even though the obligation might not exist at all, or might only be midrabanan, there's a kiyum d'oraisa. So that's why that was able to push aside the asei d'oraisa of l'olam b'hem tavodu. But once you say that, maybe that's all Tosos means, is that in the end of the day you'll have a kiyum d'oraisa, but it doesn't necessarily mean that there's an obligation to do it even midrabanan.
Much easier if you're a kachasa, much better to set the machlokas, Tosos, Rashi, versus, I forget what Rishon explains tomorrow, was Parsha Zohar, which is a real d'oraisa.
Right.
That would be much
better. That's easier than saying that.
Much
right.
Better lineup,
Right. But then that kedusha is clearly obligation midrabbanan. Nobody's going to dispute that.
Right. Okay.
Kedusha, but the obligation of davening betzibur is what we're talking about. You want to ask something? Okay. But I think it is a machlokas rishonim, but it's a machlokas rishonim elsewhere, not where the tefillah betzibur said. The Gemara says in brachas again in daf chav ches. From the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that was where Hashem used to reside. Now where does Hashem reside that there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash? Hashem resides in Da'ar Amo Shel Halacha, in the Beis HaMedrash. So that's what Abaye says. Used to be that he would learn at home, Bego Beisa, and he would daven in shul. Once he heard this statement that the only place HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed is in the Beis HaMedrash, he would only daven in the place that he learned. He wouldn't daven in shul anymore, because the place where you daven affects your davening. So he says, if the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the Beis HaMedrash, that's where I want to daven also. The same might be true, this is parenthetical, the same might be true in the reverse, where Moshe says, if the place where you daven affects the davening, then if a person's in a place which is not roi for tefillah, which we could think of many places that are not roi for tefillah, a person should not daven there. If a base medrash affects your davening in a positive way, so michlal hain, where Moshe says, atashomei alav, you see that the place could affect your davening in a negative way. Close parenthesis. Anyway, so the Gemara says, now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides in the Beis HaMedrash, Abaye only davened in the place that he learned. What do you mean he only davened in the place that he learned? What if there was a tzibur elsewhere? So the Rambam says, no, he only davened in the place that he learned if the tzibur was there. But if there's no tzibur's in shul, and I learn in my office, in my house, my study, or I'm here in the Beis HaMedrash, but there's no minyan here, everyone's davening in the shul. So then, no, the Rambam says you should go and daven in shul. He means that if you have the option, of davening in the Beis Medrash, there's a minyan in the Beis Medrash, or you have an option of davening in the shul, better to daven in the Beis Medrash. Because that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is more concentrated. However, that's the opinion of the Rambam. The Rabbeinu Yonah and the Tur disagree. And they say, no, Beis Medrash, even B'yechidus, trumps shul. Better to daven in Beis Medrash, or the place where you learn, B'yechidus, rather than daven in shul. And this is machlokas, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam L'maaseh. The Shulchan Aruch sides with the Rambam. It's better to daven b'tzibur than to daven in a Beis Medrash, B'yechidus. And the Rambam says, no, a person could daven, it's better to daven b'yechidus in a Beis Medrash than daven in shul b'tzibur. So the Rambam says, though, we don't do this for two reasons. He says, number one, it's only for a person who doesn't leave the Beis Medrash. You know, you don't leave. If you leave, you know, to make a phone call, you leave to get a cup of coffee, you leave to do this, you leave to do that. So then it comes to davening, oh, I'm stuck in the Da'at Hamo Shalacha. So that's disingenuous. But it means a person who really sits, he does, you know, all of his hasakim in the Beis Medrash, he could daven too in the Beis Medrash B'yechidus, rather than davening in Shul B'tzibur. But the Ramah says also a person has to be careful with what he says, the Amei Ha'aretz shouldn't learn from you. And people shouldn't think, oh, you know, this guy, this holy Jew, doesn't daven b'tzibur, so why should I? So he says you have to be careful how you execute this halacha. But that's the Rambam really feels, that yechidus in a Beis Medrash trumps shul. What do you mean it's better than shul? Davening in shul is b'tzibur. That's an obligation midrabbanan. So it sounds like from the Rambam, davening with a shul, with a minyan, is not an obligation midrabbanan. Your tefillah has a good chance of being heard. Yeah, but my tefillah has a good chance of being heard in a Beis Medrash. Maybe a better chance of being heard. If we're discussing what the priority, so priorities, there's a whole list of priorities. There's davening with a minyan, there's davening in a Beis Medrash, there's davening in a shul. So davening with a minyan might only just be a list on that list of priorities is davening with a minyan, and we're not sure where it fits in. It might be lower than davening in shul, which is what we mentioned before. The Mishkanes Yaakov held is better to daven in shul, b'yechidus, the daven b'tzibur, not in shul. The Ramah feels better to daven in a Beis Medrash. That's the Ramah. Better daven in a Beis Medrash than daven b'tzibur, not in a Beis Medrash. So, because it's a priority, so it depends. We're not sure where it fits on the list of priorities. But the Shulchan Aruch seems to feel that it's an obligation. Obligation, you have to do it. Davening in Beis Medrash is a nice thing. Your tefillah is more likely to be accepted because God is there. His presence is more concentrated. But at the same time, you have an obligation to daven b'tzibur. What can you do? So you have to go b'tzibur. Doesn't the Gemara say davening in a tzibur is also so your tefillah should be accepted? So the answer would be yes. That was the motivation why Chazal made a mitzvah midrabanan to daven in shul. So your tefillah should be accepted. But here it was formalized as an obligation. It's not a nice thing to daven in shul is a nice thing rather than davening in a classroom. Davening in a base medrash is a nice thing rather than perhaps davening in another shul. But that's a nice thing. Davening with the tzibur, according to the Shulchan Aruch, seems to be an obligation. And there are many practical ramifications to this machlokas. First one is, Rav Moshe goes to Shitasa. Rav Moshe was asked by a certain person who davened with more kavana. Some people feel this way. They davened with more kavana in their home. So this guy felt he davened with much more kavana at home. Could he daven at home rather than going to shul? So Moshe says, no, you cannot daven at home. Even though you have more kavana there, you should go to shul. You have to go to shul. No, you should go to shul. One could say it's an eight, so you should go to shul. Most said you have to go to shul because davening betzibur is an obligation. Others disagree. If a person davens with more kavanah at home, perhaps it's better to daven at home rather than daven in the shul. Why? Because Reb Chaim, at the beginning of the Sefer, on the Rambam, quotes a stira in the Rambams. In one Rambam, the Rambam says kavanah is only ma'akev, is only essential to tefillah and the first brach of Shmon Esrei. If you didn't have kavana, you should go back. The rest of Shmon Esrei, you should have kavana. If you didn't have kavana, it's over. You don't have to go back. Then another Rambam says that kavana is ma'akev in all of tefillah, in all of Shmon Esrei. And if you didn't have kavana, you should go back for any part of Shmon Esrei. So which is it? Is it only the first bracha? Is it all of Shmon Esrei? So Reb Chaim says we're talking about two different things. There's two types of kavanas. One kavana is for Perush HaMilim, for understanding what the words mean. So Reb Chaim says that's only ma'akev, that's only essential to tefillah in the first bracha. But there's kavana that a person, that's what the Rambam means when it's only in the first bracha. But what the Rambam means that the whole tefillah, kavana is ma'akev, every bracha of Shmon Esrei kavana is essential, that's talking about kavana that a person realizes he's davening, he's standing before God in tefillah. That's essential at any point in the Shmon Esrei, not just in the first bracha. Why? So Reb Chaim implies that that's because davening without kavana is just not davening. If you don't know that you're davening to Hashem, you're like a mezasek. You have no idea what you're doing. So therefore, there are those that feel that if we're talking about at least the first type of kavana, the kavana of that you realize that you're davening, so kavana is, that's the cake, to come back to Rav Schechter's mashal. That's the cake. That's, you know, the flour or the eggs. That's tefillah, to make sure you're doing tefillah. Then, davening betzibur is the icing, to make sure that that tefillah is accepted. People want to eat the cake if it's iced. If it's no icing, it doesn't look as appetizing. But you first have to have the cake. You first have to make sure your davening is proper. So if a person could, let's say some shuls, you walk into them, you have no idea how people daven there. You know, I've sometimes been, you know, in these shuls, and I am itching to leave at every second that I'm there. Chairs aren't comfortable. The whole place is gross. Whatever, you can't believe that that's a shul. So if that's the case, so then perhaps under those circumstances, you shouldn't be davening there. You should find somewhere else that's more roy to daven. But assuming that's where you are, I could hear the argument, according to the other poskim, that it perhaps is better to daven at home rather than daven in the shul, because davening in shul is so your tefillah should be accepted. But here we're talking about the cake. We're talking about the item itself, davening itself, which is a person should have proper kavana. That's why you hear stories about some gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, even Bizmanenu, who daven all the time biyachidus. For Kriyas HaTorah, they come into shul. You know, they have a window or something that they open. But some great tzaddikim daven all the time biyachidus. Why? Because I assume they feel that they have more kavana in their little room rather than they would have in the whole shul. But at the same time, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, there's a sefer on all of Reb Chaim Volozhiner's maisim, you know, or hanhogas, called Keser Rosh. So in the Keser Rosh, he quotes from Reb Chaim Volozhiner that miyom, from the day of his bar mitzvah and on, or from the day that he was a bar das and on, he never once missed a minyan. So you have these two, I think, two valid approaches, both, I think, reflecting what we mentioned before, is davening with a minyan a mitzvah midrabanan, an obligation, or is it a milo, in which case one has to compare it to either A, other milos, where is it in the pecking order of priorities, and B, to make sure first you have a proper davening, and then you can start discussing milos. Just a few other times where this issue comes up. One is, I guess, soon to be in Yonah D'Yomah, is if a person is going on a vacation. So in the Sefer Halicha Shlomo, which is a newer Sefer of Sakim from Rosh Hashanah Zalman, so he was asked, can a person go on a vacation to a place where there's no minyan? He knows from the very beginning there isn't going to be a minyan there. So Shlomo Zalman says, listen, a person doesn't have to walk more than a mil to a minyan. Why not? Because he says, Zonas Rahman Apache, you're not obligated. At that point already, Chazal said this mitzvah, you don't have to do more than that. You're already an onus. But why should a person put himself in a situation of onus? He could go to a place where there are many vacation spots that have minyanim. So go to the vacation spots that have minyanim. Don't go to the vacation spots that don't have minyanim. Why should you put yourself in that situation? However, in the back of the Halicha Shlomo, there are additions from his son-in-law, from Zalman Nechemia Goldberg. So one of the additions that Zalman Nechemia has is he takes issue with his father-in-law on this point. He says, who told you that the... He doesn't say it like that, but he says, who says that the fact that you don't have to walk more than a mil is because you're an onus? Maybe Chazal said, you're not obligated to walk more than that. But it's not that I'm an onus. I'm not helpless. Like, Chazal, onus, Rachmana Patre, the Torah patres me because I can't do more than that. I'm onus. He says, no, the point is, and this is what's implied, is that davening with its minion is a milah, it's a priority. More than a mil already, you don't have to do more than that. Putter, not onus. You don't have to do more than that. So then he claims that a person could put himself in that situation, even with Chachila. I could go to a vacation spot, even though I know there's no minion there, because I'm not obligated to daven with a minion. It's not a chiyuv. It's a priority. One wants to travel, or one wants to go to a place with a vacation spot where there are minyanim. It's recommended, very nice. But sometimes, for whatever reasons, people don't want to do that. So, according to Zalman Nechemia, it would be mutter. Two other cases where this comes up is the Pri Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak Blaser has two very famous tshuvas, the first two tshuvas in the Pri Yitzchak, Siman Aleph and Siman Beis. Siman Aleph, they're both very relevant to the time of year that we find ourselves in terms of the Zmanim. The first shaila in the Pri Yitzchak is, let's say a person, the only minyan in shul is before Hanetzach Hama. B'chachil, a person is supposed to daven basikin, that's at Hanetzach Hama, when the sun rises, you know, above the horizon, and onward. B'di'evet, a person can daven, not b'di'evet, b'shas hachak, or whatever, b'di'evet, there's no other time to daven, you can daven before Hanetzach Hama. So now Hanetzach Hama is pretty late. So a lot of minyanim daven before Hanetzach Hama, because people have to go to work. Fine. So let's say a person, all the minyanim in town, where he lives, everybody goes to work, no yeshiva guys, and they're all davening before Hanetzach Hama. He doesn't have to do that, though. He's not going to work. He's on vacation from yeshiva. He could daven later, after Hanetzach Hama. So is it better to daven b'yachidus after Hanetzach Hama, or to daven before Hanetzach Hama b'tzibur? That's Siman Aleph. Simon Bays is the other way. All the minyanim are after Zman Kriyashma. On Shabbos, all the people who work the whole week are tired, so they all wake up late. So they're going to dive in after Zman Kriyashma. He's a yeshiva guy. He wants to say Shabbos, you know, he's well rested from his vacation, so he wants to dive in earlier, before Zman Kriyashma. So he can make Kriyashma with the brachos. If you're going to dive in after Zman Kriyashma, you're going to have to say Kriyashma before you go to shul. And you'll miss saying Kriyashma with the brachos. He could daven earlier, be a chidus, and say Kriya Shema with the brachos. Is it better to daven earlier? Shabbos would be different again, we said. There's an obligation on Shabbos. Let's say during the week, all the minyanim are after Zman Kriya Shema, and he wants to daven before Zman Kriya Shema. So that's Simon Beis. Is it better to daven be a chidus before Zman Kriya Shema, or Betzibur after Zman Kriya Shema? So again, I think this is not the only issue in both of these shiurim. There are many, many other issues. But one underlying issue could be, is davening betzibur an obligation? If davening betzibur is an obligation, so then it plays a role in all the other obligations. It's an equal party. But if it's just a ma'ilu midrabanan, it's a priority. Yeah, but first you have to have your cake. We said it's the icing on the cake. But first you have to have the cake. What's the cake? Cake might be, you have kavana. It has to be a davening. Cake might also be that you're davening at the right time. If you're not davening at the right time, you're off. The cake is not good. First, the cake has to be good. It has to be proper davening with kavanah, and it also has to be at the right time. Then you can start dressing it up with your icing. So perhaps those poskim who feel that davening with a tzibur is only a priority would downplay davening with a tzibur when you have other concerns. And the other concern might be davening at the proper time after Hanetzach Hama. So there's some poskim who say better to daven b'yachidus after Hanetzach Hama rather than daven b'tzibur before Hanetzach Hama. But again, you have to be careful for the, you know, you're setting the proper example. But also the other way, person could say Berachas Kriyat Shema B'Yechidos rather to daven B'Yechidos rather than daven B'Tzibur after Zman Kriyat Shema. Another case which comes up every night here in the yeshiva is a Mishnah says in Shabbos on Daf Ches that a person should not sit down to a Suda when the time for a mitzvah has come. I'd say it's time to daven Maariv, it's time to daven Mincha. A person should not sit down to a Suda. Shouldn't sit down. There's no discussion. Mincha Katana, Mincha Gedola, Mincha Katana. But Maariv, certainly, once the time for Maariv has come, a person should not sit down to a meal. So everybody here, a lot of guys eat supper, and then they dive into 10 o'clock Maariv. How are they eating supper? Time for Maariv has already come. So the answer is, there are a bunch of kulos that everybody knows about. You have a shomer, someone's going to remind you to daven, or you have a minyan kavua, I always daven at 10 o'clock after my chavrusa in the base matter. There are these kulos that exist. But the Mishnah says, in the Gemara, a person should not sit down to a meal, not a snack, a meal, once the time for a mitzvah has come. It's true by B'dikas Cham, it's a bunch of mitzvahs. So those are kulos though. So is it better? Let's say a person has the option. He could either daven biyachidos. Let's say he finished class. He could either daven biyachidos before he goes down to supper, or wait, rely on the kulos of davening with a shomer. You know, eating and having a shomer remind him, or having the fact that he has a minyan kavua. All of these are controversial kulos. None of them are glatt 100%. So is it better to daven biyachidos or rely on these kulos and daven at 10 o'clock after the 8th supper? So some poskim hold, again, maybe perhaps this would depend on that issue. If davening with the tzibur is an obligation, so maybe it's worth it to rely on kulos that are accepted, at least by Rova poskim, these kulos are accepted, so rely on that to do your obligation of davening with tzibur. But if it's a milo midrabanan, maybe I shouldn't rely on kulos in terms of eating before mitzvos, just in order to attain davening with tzibur. So, for example, Rav Shelter feels better to daven biyachidos, you should better to find a minyan. That's why he makes a minyan at the end of Kol Seder, there's a minyan. So when people go home to eat supper, they would already daven Maariv. I assume that was one of the motivations for making that minyan. But he even feels, Mikra Adin, it's better to daven biyachidos rather than davening, relying on the kulos of a shomer and a minyan kavua. So I looked in the Sefer Isha Yisrael, he says, no, who told you to eat now? Eat at 10:30. You come home, your wife's serving supper, everybody's eating now. No, you didn't have Maariv yet. The next meeting is 10 o'clock. Sorry, Charlie. Wait till after Maariv. So Rav Shelter obviously feels a person doesn't have to wait 4 hours to eat, 5 hours, or whatever, 3 hours to eat supper. You have the right to eat supper now, but either you should have found the minyan before. Ezu chacham, haros hanolon. But you have the right to daven biyachidos rather than going to a later Maariv. Mincha Gedola is, I think you need a Suda Gedola. You look at all the details on Shulchan Aruch. Mincha Gedola, I think, is a discussion. Is it a Suda Katana or a Suda Gedola? So let's say you're at a wedding, you should daven before you sit down, you know, go to the wedding, a discussion about what a Suda Shabbos and Yantav, Suda Gedola.
Suda Gedola is termed
by rather. No, Suda Gedola is something that takes a while. You know, might last. So you have, you know, most people, Sudas on Shabbos might last, so you might forget about Mincha.
Why is Maariv different than
You have more time to daven mincha. Once mincha katana comes,
less
no, I'm sorry, but there's another boundary you have to cross. Once you get to mincha katana, even a suda katana is also. This is all the machlokas are sure. There's like a few opinions in Shulchan Aruch, without getting into the details. One issue though is not a machlokas. Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva that he was asked by a guy who was learning in yeshiva. That he learns better at night. Some people here think that they learn the best, you know, from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. And then, but Nebuch, he's going to miss Minyan. So what should he do? But that's when he learns the best. So Moshe says, no, you should restructure your schedule to daven B'tzibur. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. Assuming the person has the liberty to restructure his schedule, person should restructure his schedule. Even if it's not an obligation, it clearly is a priority. And a person should restructure his schedule in order to daven b'tzibur. So he said, well, I learn better at night. But the Gemara says in Megillah, Shmaitza Boi Tzilusa. Learning also requires davening. So there was a two Amoraim who had a Shaila that they couldn't resolve. So the Gemara says they went into Shul to daven. Because they couldn't resolve the Shaila, they davened to Hashem, we should be able to resolve the Shaila. So a person thinks he learns the best at night, but davening also helps his learning. Anyway, a person has to be careful how he structures his schedule. The Gemara says, we'll close with this, the Gemara says, which we say every morning, it's Gemara on Shabbos that Eilu Dvarim Sha Adam Ochel Perasei and Boam Azev Akeren Kayemis Loli Olam Abba. So one of them is Hashkamas Beis Hamedrash Shachris Varvis. So what does it mean? Hashkamas beis hamedrash shachris va'arvis. It means you come early for shul. Hashkamas beis hamedrash shachris. You're there at the beginning for shul. What do you mean? Hashkamas beis hamedrash for arvis. You come maybe. It's a push-up shot, is I guess. You come early from arv. You wanted that sarvi shonim there from arv. So the chidushi arim says a different pshat. He says no. What it means is hashkamas beis hamedrash shachris. You come early for shachris. How are you going to come early for shachris if you're up late learning? Hashkamas beis hamedrash arvis. You have to go to sleep early. If you go to sleep early, you go to sleep on time, then you'll be up in time for davening also. Okay, shkoyach.